I'm going into it physically blind. You're coming into it mentally blind.
Welcome to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hey, listener, you're back with episode 32 of The World of Muscle with Tamash and Randy. Hey, Randy.
Morning, Tamash.
Well, today's show is I'm going into blind right now because you've got all the preparation done. You know what you're talking about. I'm just going to be asking you the questions.
I'm going into it physically blind. You're coming into it mentally blind.
Yeah, which is not that much of a difference from other times.
We're going to be throwing the baton your way pretty soon. And you are able to do a lot of shows, so I'm going to have to let you have your run on it. But yeah, we're going to continue with part two. Last week we talked about the American election primaries and all the nonsense going on there. And we left it off that there could be some trouble in July in Cleveland if they try to take this nomination from Trump. But that looks like it's not going to happen. This past Tuesday, Ted Cruz dropped out. Now, why he dropped out, you know, some think that his money dried up, but I don't believe that necessarily. Whether he had some kind of deal behind the scenes, I don't know. Or maybe he woke up and decided he didn't want to serve as political cannon fodder for the power elite who were going to use him as a battering ram and in July in Cleveland to disrupt Trump. But that would have been a disaster for the Republican Party and probably a disaster for Cruz's career. But regardless whether you like Cruz or not, I think he did America a big favor by stepping down, because Cleveland in July at that convention was looking to potentially be a very social political uproar for the entire nation. So he stopped that by stepping down. But that, had he done that, gone to Cleveland and created that, it would have, like I said last week, it would have created a walk-in for Hillary Clinton. But these guys are still looking to do this, because just yesterday, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, said he's not ready to support Trump. Okay, so you still got division here, and they're still talking about a potential third-party run out of the Republican Party, which again would guarantee a Hillary walk-in, and they know that. So you have to ask, maybe that's
the Tunopoly.
Well, exactly. You have to ask, would they want to do that? Because it doesn't matter, like I said last week, Republican or Democrat, there's allegiances across these lines. It's more like the devil you know as opposed to the devil you don't know. They would be more comfortable even with Hillary because she represents the status quo. Look, a couple of weeks ago, Laura Bush said she won't vote for Trump. She'd sooner vote for Hillary. So you see there where these allegiances are. So you have to say, why are they afraid of Trump? Because Trump is not on board with this globalization process. Because anytime he says America first, they call him an isolationist, a nationalist, a Hitler. You can't say that, because they are slowly, this deindustrialization of America has been going on a long time. When Trump used to say, we have stupid people negotiating deals, I'd said, that's not true. You have the corrupt people. And now Trump, I've noticed the past few weeks, he is saying, yes, we have stupid or dishonest people. So he knows what's going on, and they don't want him disrupting this globalization process of deindustrializing the United States, diluting all our cultures. That's why these borders are open on purpose, right? Schwarzenegger is right on board with this, because that's why he was over there in France for the climate change conference, promoting his veganism. And basically, that's just a straw man for world taxation. But Schwarzenegger is kind of our little segue into part two this week.
I was going to ask, how does this relate to bodybuilding in today's topic?
Well, you just got it right there.
And Arnie, what is today's topic?
Arnie, the American, we go from American political tunopoly to the American muscle monopoly. Basically,
that's the article that you wrote for Muscle Sport Mag.
Yeah, we had to find a way to steal that name. I told you I like that name, Muscle Sport. It's Joe Patero's magazine. I just like that name. But Joe's a good guy. He asked me if I would write an article, and I said, a good article right now, because Joe's covering this also, and the fact that I'll be writing on it. So I thought it would be great to do an article on it for his magazine. So that's why he's given us permission to send the article out. And at the end of this, we'll give links to the article. We'll give links to his online magazine and whatever else we think pertinent. Mm-hmm. But like, as I said, Schwarzenegger's, he's a politician, and he does what he's told. And basically, we're looking in bodybuilding. A lot of people say, well, who cares about bodybuilding? Well, we do, because that's where we like to play around. But lately, there has been recently, in the, within the past several months, has been this major lawsuit filed by Lee Thompson against the NPC and the IFBB. Lee Thompson is a retired oilman. He actually, he's got to be a pretty smart guy because by the age of 32, he was able to sell one of the world's largest oil, gas, chemical emergency response companies to Halliburton. Dick Cheney, I don't even think about him. But so Lee, multimillionaire at 32, so he's obviously a pretty sharp guy. He also likes bodybuilding. So in 2002, he joined up with the NPC. By 2004, I think he was already a chairman for Texas, the NPC chairman for Texas. And by 2006, he was a judge for the IFBB Pro League. So he moved his way up, but eventually he just learned that the system is basically a monopoly and it's corrupt. So he wanted out of it. Now the IFBB says, well, they let him go and on September 9th, but Lee said he quit on September 14th and he tried to start his own NPC Global. And he got into some trademark issues with the NPC and was forced to not use that name, but he did that on purpose. He took that name on purpose to fish out some information. Like I say, he's pretty sharp. And he got the information as to who owned that trademark. And he changed the name to Inspire Sports League and NSL. Okay. And he was going to start running his own amateur shows. And he had one set up for December of 2015. And of course, the NPC and Mannion, they were on attack mode. They had this, they're going to stop him. They're interfering. And Thompson filed a lawsuit because he believed Mannion and the NPC, that's the National Physique Committee, was violating the Sports Act of 1978, which means you cannot interfere with athletes. They can, amateur athletes, they can compete anywhere they want. So,
and Lee, how would they interfere? Like, what do you mean they interfered?
Threatened them that they cannot, if they do, they'll be out of the NPC for life.
Okay, so they told the athletes that they can only compete in an NPC.
Oh, yeah, and they go further into interfering with sponsors and companies that are involved, supplement companies, clothing companies, tanning companies. This is a whole little monopoly we're talking about.
So this has never happened before, right? Not with the IFBB?
There's been lawsuits. We'll go back a little bit, but hang on a second.
Okay.
Thompson was wanting to file a suit to stop this interference. But in the suit, I believe it was filed November 5th, Joe Patero, Muscle Sport Magazine, just 2 days later, was writing on this. And you have a quote there. Joe listed out. Joe got access to the draft of the suit or whatever, and he listed out all the allegations that Thompson was making against the NPC. You have them there. You can read that.
Okay. So the lawsuit states that throughout his affiliation with the NPC, Thompson personally discovered countless instances of unethical, unlawful, and underhanded conduct on part of Mannion, Mannion subordinates, and employees of the NPC, and said conduct was directed towards industry sponsors, athletes competing in unaffiliated events, and athletes competing in National Physique sanctioned events. Such conduct included, but was not limited to, extortion, coercion, intimidation, assault, battery, fraud, fraudulent inducement,
torturous. It's intentional interference.
Interference and duress. The suit further alleges that Thompson uncovered contests that were rigged in an effort to exert additional control over the industry and those participating in same. The judging and/or scoring of these competitions was rigged in order to ensure that certain athletes won competitions and to ensure that certain athletes failed to win competitions. Another point was, Thompson encountered numerous instances of tax fraud on the part of the National Physique in an effort to maintain its nonprofit status and enrich its officers and directors. Regarding what has happened since Thompson left the NPC in September, the suit alleges that he has been the victim of various attempts by Mannion and National Physique to torturously interfere with his and Inspire's attempts to organize, promote, market, and conduct Inspire-sanctioned events and competitions. National Physique and Mannion have harassed, threatened, intimidated, punished, banner and or ostracized athletes and sponsors in the industry as a result of their affiliation with Thompson and or Inspire. End of quote.
Again, a lot of allegations. All these allegations have been around for a long time. But the suit was supposedly settled as Mannion issued a statement that the NPC would not interfere. But they did. In January, The suit was refiled and followed again by a second suit by Thompson, an antitrust suit, basically saying that these people are interfering with others to do business. Okay, so that's where it stood today. And my article, The Muscle Monopoly, I said, okay, how do we get here? This isn't the first lawsuit in the iron game. Anybody who's read Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors would have an idea of what I'm talking about. This monopoly goes back to bodybuilding's just getting started in 1939 when Bob Hoffman controlled everything. Right now, the NPC, Jim Mannion, and a few others, they have control over almost every aspect of bodybuilding and the commerce of bodybuilding. Back in 1939, by the end of the Depression, Bob Hoffman was a successful oil burner man. And that business was quite lucrative through the 1930s, the Depression, when other people's businesses were not. And he used that to start a magazine, Strength and Health, in 1932. He was coaching a York weightlifting club. And through that 10 years, he rose prominently in power with the AAU, which is the Amateur Athletic Union. When you think NPC today, National Physique Committee, think AAU, because the AAU was the forerunner to the NPC. So the Amateur Athletic Union governed and coordinated all amateur sports in America through most of the 1970s. By 1939, Bob Hoffman was very powerful, especially with weightlifting. He took control of American weightlifting, and there was a National Weightlifting Committee, AAU Weightlifting Committee, that governed amateur weightlifting in the 1930s and 40s and 50s and 60s. But when they ran, the AAU ran one of its early Mr. America contest in 1939 in the AAU, weightlifting committee then at that point took control even of bodybuilding. Competitive bodybuilding was just getting underway. So Hoffman, with his magazine and bodybuilding and weightlifting and his barbells, he had York barbell, he monopolized the entire industry through most of the 1940s and controlled everything. Athletes could not compete anywhere outside the AAU or they'd lose their amateur status. Now, Hoffman had this power for 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. The only people that were starting to come to bear at this time was the Weider brothers. In 1940, Joe released Your Physique. Joe and Ben had no power whatsoever in running contests at that time, but they did have their magazines where they can start selling their own barbells, and Dan Lurie, too, was partnered up with Joe. So they were kind of digging into Bob Hoffman's little monopoly in terms of selling the wares of the sport, like the courses and the photos and the equipment and stuff. But Joe and Ben did not start the IFBB until later into the 1940s, and it was still very lame. It was very lame through the 40s and the 1950s. It actually went docile, dormant in the 1950s. NABBA came along, but we're talking about the American muscle monopoly here. NABBA was over in England, and it was starting up and being successful, but we'll stick to the America here. So the Weider started to reignited the IFBB, International Federation of Bodybuilders, in 1959. They started running the Mr. America contest again, and they started running a Mr. Universe. And by 1965, Joe started the Mr. Olympia. But this was still very small potatoes against the AAU and the Amateur Mr. America. That was still the biggest contest. NABBA was getting prestige over in England, but over in America, it was the Mr. America contest. Things changed. The monopoly, the monopoly was going to change hands here starting in the late 1960s by a fellow named Oscar State. Oscar was a secretary for the American Weightlifting Federation, which was coordinated with the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, and because the Olympics did host weightlifting, not mm-hmm. bodybuilding, but weightlifting. Oscar State, also with the International Weightlifting Federation, they also took some kind of pseudo control over amateur bodybuilding as well. And Oscar took a liking to Ben back in the early 50s, actually, because Oscar State was from England and he was starting to butt heads with the emerging NABBA, but he became friendly with the Weiders, even though the Weiders didn't have much at the time in terms of their IFBB. But by 1968, Oscar told Ben Weider to get his ducks aligned because he knew that the World Weightlifting Federation, International Weightlifting Federation, was going to drop bodybuilding, okay? And at the same time, Oscar was part of the emergence of what's called GASEP, the General Association of International Sports Federations. Again, this was just another organization that was a coordinating body that was going to recognize one governing body per amateur sport worldwide. And Oscar was going to become the general secretary of this organization, and he was instrumental in getting this case of status to Ben and his IFBB in 1971. So Oscar knew that the International Weightlifting Federation was going to drop bodybuilding, and he told Ben, get organized, get yourself registered as a legitimate federation, help Ben make a constitution and a congress and everything. And they ratified all this in 1970 in Yugoslavia. And by 1971, as I said, Oscar was able to get them gaze of status.
And now, was this general knowledge, or was this kind of inside information that they were going to drop bodybuilding?
Well, general knowledge back in the late 60s and 70s for bodybuilding wasn't vast. It was probably a lot of this going behind the scenes, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the ORC didn't care. Even if they somebody told them, look, the IFBB just got recognition from the General Association of International Sports Federations, York was still in control of the AU weightlifting committee and controlling bodybuilding. They were saying, so what? Big deal.
Yeah, but it was kind of like Blockbuster and Netflix, how Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix, and they said, nah, it's small potatoes.
Yeah, but Jack Kelly, actually the brother of Grace Kelly, Princess Grace of Monaco, she was a big actress in the 50s. Jack Kelly was the president of the entire AAU. Remember, John Turpak, I think Turpak in 71 was yielding to Bob Crist. The weightlifting committee was just a committee of the of part of the whole AAU. Jack Kelly was the president of the entire AAU. And he believed that was significant, that the IFBB got international noticed as an international governing body for bodybuilding. So eventually, York was going to have to pay some attention. But what happened, they still didn't acknowledge him for several years. But by the mid-70s, actions took place that there was going to be a divesting of power of the AAU and the NCAA. Amateur sports control, a lot of power is going to shift to the United States Olympic Committee. And this amateur sports, it seemed to be such a big deal. It was a big deal because in Volume 2, I won't go down too far here, Arthur Jones, I wrote a lot about Arthur Jones. I was interested in his battle. He was battling with the USOC, that's the United States Olympic Committee, and it became powerful enough that it drew the attention and the participation of William Simon, the ex-treasurer of the United States, the secretary of the Treasury of the United States, and William Casey, the ex-director of the CIA. These guys are actually participating in the United States Olympic Committee. So Arthur Jones is butt head with these guys. So in the mid-70s, power was taken from the AAU and given to the United States Olympic Committee. This opened up an opportunity for the Weeders to get affiliation with the AAU bodybuilding, that York and its weightlifting umbrella would not have control of anymore, because weightlifting would be responsible for itself. Bodybuilding would be responsible for itself. Powerlifting would be responsible for itself. And a fellow by the name of Ken Sprague, who's a very sharp guy, who got himself involved with the AAU. And at this point, the AAU was beginning to change into the NPC. It was the AAU / NPC, National Physique Committee. They're going to get their own autonomy and through, you know, national governing body for bodybuilding in the United States. Ken Sprague helped break the York stronghold. Again, just like in politics, by manipulating delegates, because AAU had delegates, district delegates, state delegates that would go to the conventions and they would pick their chairman and stuff. And Sprague was able to put Jim Mannion in 1977 with a lot of manipulation. And in 1978, he kept Mannion in power when Mike Katz and company were well organized and coming to, and probably who would have possibly legitimately won had Sprague not stuffed the vote.
Why did he stuff the vote?
Ken believed at that time that it was in the best interest for bodybuilding that the Weeders have their turn in control and take it away from the weightlifting, because mm-hmm. Bodybuilding was just put under the thumb, under the foot of weightlifting, and it needed to be its own power, and it wasn't going to be. He didn't believe it was going to be in the right control under York, and the Hoffman was too old now, he was out of it, but the York gang and the Eastern establishment, they were controlling it, and Sprague wanted it shifting it to the West Coast and with the Weeders. And that's why he believed it. He said it probably wasn't such a good idea today, seeing what happened with Mannion. But again, the AAU turned into the NPC, and actually the AAU tried to hang on to some power. And in 1982, the AAU sued the NPC, because now the NPC under the Weeders were starting to do what the AAU was doing by stopping athletes from competing outside the AAU. The MPC was trying to say anybody competes outside the MPC will lose their status, blah, blah, blah. And the AAU sued them in 1982 and won. So that wasn't the first, Lee Thompson's wasn't the first lawsuit in this regard, okay? Uh-huh. So through the 1980s, Wayne D'Amelio also became a power in terms of building. He was actually a power and instrumental in the NPC AAU emergence as well. And I'm going to be writing on that in this book. And he became the power in professional bodybuilding. He built up the professional wing of bodybuilding through the 1980s. While Jim Mannion was in control of the NPC, through the 1980s, the Weeders really solidified their monopolies. Wayne, as I wrote in the recent book, saw how there was no way Ben was ever going to be voted out of the IFBB was supposed to be a non-tax organization. The NPC is supposed to be non-tax, and it's supposed to be run democratically with votes. And there was no way Ben was ever going to lose his presidency because he saw how Ben arranged and leveraged his Weeder Industries to the all his international affiliates. All his international affiliates, all the not basically Germany, France, all the different nations that had representatives for the IFBB, they all became Weeder distributors for their country. So they weren't going to vote out their boss, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this monopoly is really two Weeders taken over for one Bob Hoffman through the 1980s.
And also, so the NPC became the funnel for the IFBB, really, to get the athletes while they're amateurs, turn them into pros, and serve them up to the IFBB and no one else.
Yes, the lawsuit that Lee has levied against these guys lays all this out. This is an entire monopoly with amateur bodybuilding in the United States and how it's intertwined with the international governing body, okay? And there you got Jim Mannion. When Wayne D'Amelio left, he got fed up and left by 2003. Wayne ran the pro division. He made a separate corporation. But when he left, he took that corporation with him. But then Jim Mannion became head of the pro league. So you got Mannion, the chairman of the NPC. That represents American Amateur Bodybuilding, and also now in charge of the International Federation of Bodybuilders Professional League. You know, you're starting to see the demagogue. So in the article, I talked about the demagogues of the Iron Game from Bob Hoffman. Hoffman ruled over weightlifting and bodybuilding. But by the time the Weeders took over, you know, weightlifting went its own way. Powerlifting went its own way, and bodybuilding went its own way, and the Weeders became the demagogues of bodybuilding, and the Weeders are both passed away now. Mannion and crew have taken it to a whole nother level in terms of you just read out the allegations that Lee Thompson made against them. And Lee Thompson, he's still being interfered with today when he's trying to run his shows. The NPC is Mannion's instructing many of his promoters to run a show on the same day, very close, and to basically make it so irresistible and lucrative that the promoters of these shows are most likely potentially taking losses or serious profit cuts than would they run it in a different manner away from trying to compete with Lee Thompson.
Sorry to interrupt, but I was just curious what the definition of a demagogue is. And what I found was a demagogue is a political leader who tries to get support by making false claims and appealing to emotions rather than facts.
Yeah, well, I might have stretched the use of it again, but it's a there are leaders, and again, there's no hardly any facts used in, especially in bodybuilding. It's all hyperbole, right? The whole sport's based on hype and hyperbole, like over the top claims and Joe Weeder this, Dan Lurie that, and Bob Hoffman. You know, we do it all. We started everything. Blah. It's all bullshit, right? It's again. But Mannion has a monopoly, and what's hardly talked about either is the extortion and prostitution and exploitation of the women through Mannion's son, in terms of how they're treated. Now, like I said, right now every show that Lee Thompson tries to run, it's interfered with by. Again, this is not necessarily against the law. They are competing, but Mannion is basically what I understand, instructing these promoters, wherever Thompson runs a show, to compete with them. But that hurts his promoters too, because their profits are getting cut into, because anytime you try
splitting.
To compete. Yeah. So if I was a promoter, like they have no, I'd be like, screw you, Mannion. Like, I mean, but they have no choice or they don't run shows, right? That's the same with Wayne D'Amelio. You'll see in this book that I'm writing now. Wayne D'Amelio, I asked him sometimes, man, like, what were you doing? And he said that he had no choice. Ben held all the cards. The buck on professional and amateur bodybuilding stopped at Ben's desk, and Wayne just had to eat it. And I think the same thing with these promoters. So, But we have one more little passage for you to read. Thompson, like I said, he's got a good legal team. Yeah, he's got money and he's got some balls and to do what he's doing. And he is calling out all the dogs, including the IRS. You have a little.
Yeah, I have another.
Lee put this right on his Facebook.
This is from Facebook. Yeah. And he says, "Today, I am grateful for an amazing legal team for compiling one of the most comprehensive legal responses I have ever read. I have received countless calls from those in the sport who understand law and from legal experts commending this team on its stance for doing what is right and just for the members of the community. I'm also glad the package I submitted to the IRS whistleblowers section was received. I have recommended to many of my former trustees and directors of James B. Mannion's nonprofit organization, the NPC, you too should review the laws pertaining to 501c3s and consult with your own legal or tax consultant as to the potential liability you may be exposed to at this point. The choice is yours at this point in time."
501c3 is a tax-exempt status for a business, and this has been abused, we might say, by the Weeders and IFPB and the NPC. So this was that the Arnold Classic. Remember, just we talked about this in another show at the Arnold Classic this year, that Rafael Santanja, the president of the IFPB, I think International, Jim Mannion, Steve Weinberger, and Sandy Rinaldi of the NPC were all served papers for this antitrust lawsuit. And it's underway now, and Lee's telling these guys, look, I submit it to the IRS. You guys are going to be answering to the IRS. And like you said, Tomas, off the air, like that's probably scarier than going to, you know, any other antitrust suit that's coming after them. So,
yeah, most people are more afraid of the IRS than anything else.
Yeah, so this is where we stand today. And as mentioned, the American Muscle Monopoly is available. We'll have links to this at the bottom, plus links to Joe's current spring issue of Muscle Sport Magazine and whatever else we...
Well, yeah, well, you've just pretty much outlined the whole history of the politics in bodybuilding and how it went from a fun little sport to politics.
And I did that all from memory, Dieter. I don't screw up. I have nothing in front of me I can see to read, right?
Oh, well, yeah, exactly.
So, well, it's...
I mean, there's more details in Volume 2 because that's where you cover most of the 70s when all this happened. And there's a little more background in there too,
but yeah, this there's a
pretty
lot.
Good, yeah, this is
and then volume three, book one, and this next book, there's going to be a lot more, especially with Ben, the relationship with Wayne DeMay and the Weeders, especially Ben. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, you've given me a few snippets already, so I'm looking forward to finishing the book off.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the rundown, and we'll be back next week.
All right.
Ta-ta. We just had a hot off the press update that came in after we finished recording the podcast. So we're adding this on at the end of the previous podcast. So it's not over yet. A new post has come from Lee Thompson. He posted on his Facebook page about this 2014990 NPC filing.
It's just basically a breakdown for the IRS, a disclosure of who's getting what money. For the NPC's income, okay, who's receiving what? So you could probably just read, it's a very short
Let me just read the post that Lee sent. He said, interesting facts for the 2014 or 2014990 NPC filing. Point one, J.M. Mannion listed on 990 for the first time ever as a photographer without a bid for his services. Point number two, around the NPC and IFBB with J.M. Mannion was compensated more than $300,000, while the president of the organization was only compensated $250,000. Number three, I was still an active board of governor during this period, and there was never a compensation committee vote brought to the members. Does it make any sense whatsoever that a photographer made more than the president? And $2 million spent on printing. Printing of what? And finally, again, it states all board of governors authorized. I never voted to approve any funds. More than 50% of the revenue brought in by the nonprofit 501c3 is spent on printing. Yet, its purpose is to promote the amateurs. Where are those publications, I ask? So this is what Lee posted on his Facebook page.
Yeah, so Jim Mannion is the president of the IPC. He's receiving a quarter million dollars salary, and his son, J.M., as the photographer who never put a bid, see, I guess with these tax exempt companies, you're not allowed to profit, or your family's not allowed to profit off it. You're supposed to put out bidding, let people bid on certain jobs that the company needs. And Lee's saying that J.M. Mannion did not bid, and he's giving this ridiculous salary, $350,000. Do you know anybody here who's a photographer that makes
$350,000?
$300,000 a year. Now, the next question is, $2 million is being allocated for printing.
Wow.
He's doing the printing. From what I understand, there's another company, NPC News, or what, I'm not sure the exact name, which is potentially another 501c3 company, tax exempt company. The $2 million is going for printing. Who runs that company? I understand is Jim and J.M. Mannion and somebody else. So we don't have a disclosure of what salaries are paid there, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's somewhat similar. We'll have to wait and see if Lee Thompson can get this information. So for me, all you NPC members and bodybuilders out there who are paying this constantly increasing fees and you wonder where it's going right in the pockets of Jim.
No, it's going to printing.
It's going to printing. Oh, it's going. It's going to the Mannions via printing and for outrageous salaries.
Oh yes, and then photography services.
Yeah, like I mean, they're looting it differently. They're looting similar. The Weeders loot it from leveraging their Weeder Industries off bodybuilding, where the Mannions are doing it a different way. They're making the money today off the athletes. All this money is coming
amateur
from
amateur athletes.
Amateur athletes.
And there is a non-for-profit organization.
Yeah, we talked earlier about the Mannion doesn't like Lee Thompson and his NSL running shows. So he's getting his promoters to run shows on the same day in the same district, very, very cheap, taking losses for him. So Lee Thompson's hurt this way. And the promoters are too, but Mannion doesn't care. Yeah. He's not doing it. He's just sitting there collecting the money. This happened back in 1973, when Joe Weider ordered Tom Minichiello to run the Mr. Olympia on the same day Dan Lurie was running his Pro Mr. America. Wayne D'Amelio was just coming into the sport at that time. He's just young. He went to a mid-city gym and he was doing some work for Tom. And he was angry as a fan. He wanted to go to both, but he was loyal to Tom because of the gym. So he went to the Mr. Olympia. Now, that was the Mr. Olympia that Arnold was really pissed off because he only got $750 for winning and dropped the mic and walked off. Well, to understand why he only got $750, because the two shows clashed. Wayne said he was there. It doesn't matter what Joe was writing in his magazine, that there was packed house and the cops were on horses shooing away all the thousands of fans outside who couldn't get in. Well, that was bullshit. Like Wayne said it was only 3/4 filled. Because Minichiello had to take the hit for Weider because he was ordered to run on the same thing as Dan. Now, I understand from Mario Strong, who was at Dan's show, it was very successful because he had a big lineup of stars as well, plus Steve Reeves. So like Wayne said, he wanted to go see Steve Reeves too, but he couldn't because he went to the Mr. Olympia show. But Minichiello had to take the hit for it. Weider didn't care. Weider can write anything he wants in his magazine, how successful it was. But that's what's going on today here. You know, Mannion is running everything.
The media too, doesn't
he? He controls everything, and they're making a filthy amount of money off the athletes. But now the IRS is involved, and it's going to be a tough road coming to it for the Mannion family.
Tough and interesting for everyone else.
Yeah, but it's
hopefully better for the athletes.
We'll post the link to Lee's Facebook at the end of the show, along with the link to the article of the American Muscle Monopoly and to Muscle Sport Magazine.
We'll try.
Well, whatever we can to get you to the right place to get the information, we'll do that, right? So,
well, worst case, we'll just copy and paste.
Yeah.
If I can't post a link, but I'll try to post a link.
Okay, that's it.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode. We're looking forward to sharing more next time.